Okay, today is September the 13th, and you've joined us for the evening service of the Pineville House Church. And like I said this morning, and even more so, that's doing much better now. And we appreciate everyone's prayers for her. And we've come to the conclusion that she may have actually had a touch of food poisoning. Kind of what the conclusion is. Anyway, the first selection is page 280 in the Old School Hymnal, entitled "Jesus Heals the Brokenhearted." Jesus
heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sounds to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, Roman bled to set me free. By his sufferings, death and merits, his compassion, blood and pain, broken hearts and wounded spirits are at once made whole again. Broken by the laws of thunder, to the cross for refuge free. For his punch and sorrow ponder, 'tis his stripes that healeth thee. Oil and wine and meal and cherish, Jesus still to Israel gives. Nor shall e'er a sinner perish, who in his dear name believes. In his righteousness confiding, sheltered safe beneath his wing. Here they find a sure abiding, and of covenant mercy sing. Seek my soul no other healing, but in Jesus' balmy blood. Beneath the Spirit's ceiling, stands the great High Priest of God.
Okay, the next one is page 45 in the Psalter, Psalm 92a. Page 45, Psalm 92a.
And to thy name, O thou most high, do praise aloud to sing. The loving kindness to show forth when shines the morning light, and to declare thy faithfulness with pleasure every night. Upon a ten-string instrument and on a psalter reed, upon the harp with solemn strain, with precious melody. For thou, Jehovah, by thy words hast gladness to me brought, and I will triumph in the words which by thy hands are right. How great, Jehovah, are thy works, how deep thine every thought. Unthinking man does not know this, and knows knowledge not. That wickedness is in my grasp, as blossom sinner starts, to be destroyed forevermore, but Lord, thou ever art.
Okay, the last one we're going to do before the transition over to the other service is number 432 in the Old School Hymnal. It's been selected, entitled "He Prayed." Thank you. Jesus went upon the mountain that he might commune with God. He prayed on the hills of Judea above. He prayed. Jesus prayed unto the Father every day. From the manger to the cross, not a moment's time was lost. Jesus prayed unto the Father all the way. All alone while in the garden where his sweet tears bled. He prayed, not to will but thine be done, the Father in his prayer to God. He prayed, when upon the cross of Calvary in his agony and praying, he prayed, that the Father might forgive him when the Son of God is slain. He prayed. Jesus prayed unto the Father every day. Not a moment came to cross, not a moment's time was lost. Jesus prayed unto the Father all the way.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight. In this time when we gather around your word, we look around us and we see how our society has become immoral, much more immoral in the last decade, debauched. How it seems like Satan has gotten the upper hand, but we know that you're sovereign over it all. Pray that you would encourage our hearts. Your word tonight, we pray, and that our spirits would be lifted, knowing that one of these days we'll be in the presence of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, you might want to turn to the 147th Psalm. 147th Psalm. I want to just read through the Psalm and then I want to make some comments about it. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates, he hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, and his word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool, he scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes, he casteth forth his ice like morsels, who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them, he causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Well, as we mentioned a while ago in our prayer, God knows and sees what is going on the face of this earth which he created. And so that's one of the things that I think we need to continually remind ourselves of in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. God can see exactly what is going on. He knows what we're going through. He knows why Little Pineville House Church has decided not to go amongst another body of believers right now. He knows all the reasons that we have made that decision in His divine providence. And He also knows that the future and what we're going to have to face in the next week, in the next 6 months, in the next 10 years, if we're still on this face of this earth, and ever how long we are going to be living on this earth. He knows everything that we're going to have to go through. So, the psalmist here says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." We should be thankful for the many blessings that God has given us. He's provided us not only food, clothing, and shelter, transportation, health, but He's also provided us many things that we don't often even think about each day as a blessing. His Word, many people don't have access to the Word of God. Many people don't have access to all the different messages that we have available to us on sermon audio and on the internet. Good, sound, historical messages. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. When it's talking there of God's elect, it's not talking about some false gathering together in 1967 war, putting people back over in the state of Israel. This is talking about gathering together His elect body to Himself. And the outcasts are those who are downtrodden, those who are weak and heavy laden, needing rest. "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." He's not just talking about physically here. He's talking about spiritually as well. He's talking about the times in our lives where we go through and we may get up in the morning and we feel like we cannot go on. We may be discouraged. We may feel like we cannot face another day. But God is the one that gives us what we need. He heals our broken heart. He binds up our wounds. "He telleth the number of stars, calleth them all by their names." I went out. We're down here in Pineville right now, up in the mountain area, higher area. I opened the door the other night and looked up in the sky, and there were just millions of stars, it seemed. And to think that God called all of them by their names, that's amazing. "Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite." I heard a crazy Arminian song the other day telling God to remember something. God doesn't need to be told to remember anything. God is great in power, and his understanding is infinite. If God is omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, you think he needs to be told what to remember? God does not have Alzheimer's. Okay? God is not affected by sin. God is perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. And he's infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground. We've been doing a lot of study on the history of the Roman Catholic Church and how evil and wicked and perverse an organization can be. And none can be more perverse and wicked than the Roman Catholic Church. So what does that signify about their future? Well, it signifies that they are going to be brought down to the ground. But guess what? For God's people, they're going to be lifted up. I saw a post on Facebook today. A guy put on there that the difference between the sinner who is elect and the sinner who is not elect is the sinner who's elect is going to be lifted up, and the sinner who's not is going to be cast down. It says, the Lord lifteth up the meek, and he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds. Down here you can see the clouds sometimes. They're just beautiful. Up against the beautiful pine trees that are towering pine trees. Some of these pine trees are, you know, 160 feet high. And then the clouds, it's like a tapestry. He's the one who prepares the rain for the earth. He's the one that makes the grass to grow up on the mountains. And he giveth the beast to the field. There's a lot of wildlife out in this area. In fact, the other day, right next door to where we live, I saw four raccoons running across the road. It says that he giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man. And he's not just talking there about physical legs of man. He's talking there about man's will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. I saw a title, Richard Bennett did a sermon one time, and he said that the Arminianism and Catholicism are both alike. How is Arminianism and Roman Catholicism alike? They're trusting in the strength of their own wills, trusting in the arm of flesh. And how is those who hold a biblical position different than those of the Arminian and the Roman Catholics? Those who are holding to the Bible believe that it's by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, in the Bible alone. Not in the legs of man, not in the strength of a horse, not in the will of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Are we hoping in his mercy? Are we trusting in his mercy and his love, his grace, his kindness, the unmerited favor of God? We think about the acronym TULIP. What is my favorite part of TULIP? Unconditional election. We could not finally persevere in our faith if we were not unconditionally elected in the first place. And so that's His mercy. God, in His awesome love, chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And we didn't have anything to bring to the table. It was strictly the unmerited favor and love of God, His unconditional election, and then His death on the cross for us. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. You think that's talking right there about Jerusalem over there, that physical place over there? No, I don't. I think it's talking about those who are eventually going to be residents of the new Jerusalem, coming down out of God, out of heaven. Zion, Mount Zion. You know? For He has strengthened the bars of thy gates, and blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. And I don't think he's talking there just about physical wheat. He gives us the spiritual nourishment from His word. And we go, that's why we spend time in the Word of God. That's why we listen to the Word of God. That's why we study the Word of God, is because it gives us the nourishment to our souls, spiritual meat. He sendeth forth the commandment on the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He cast forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sendeth out His word and melteth them. Now, God's word does one of two things. It hardens or it softens. For His elect, it melts them. It shows them their need of a Savior. Shows them that how they are so, you know, lost and undone without God or His Son, how they're dead in their trespasses and sin and they're needing a Savior. It says, and the waters flow. He said to the lady at Samaria, if you would have asked of me, I would have given you living water, but you would never thirst again. And what did she say? Give me of this water. He showeth His word unto Jacob. Notice He didn't say He showed His word unto everybody. He showed His word unto Jacob. A lot of people think that you can get up in front of a stadium, 50,000 people, and read His word and everybody's going to understand it. But that is just not the case, because a dead person can't understand anything. It says, He hath not dealt so with any nation. So in other words, the only one that He's dealing with here is Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. They have not known them. What it says. Praise ye the Lord. So when we're going through these situations, here we have the Pope coming to the United States this month, the Antichrist, addressing the Congress of our government. This month, almost have to pinch yourself to think about it. Very Antichrist coming and addressing our government, who they used to call a Christian nation. What this nation has done since it became United States, has cloaked itself under the guise of Christianity, under false freedom, under the Jesuit freedom. Christ is the only one that gives freedom. If the Son will make you free, you shall be free indeed, the Bible says. But without the Son, there's only darkness. He hath not dealt with any other nation other than Jacob. That's particular redemption. That universal atonement has been propagated for so many years in this country, even from the time that I was a little tiny tot. You know, for God so loved the world. Never explained it. They just let the deceit go right on. For God so loved the world. God loves everybody. God loves you, and so do I. You know, we're all God's children. God made it possible for all men to be saved. All of those lies put out by the Jesuit, Pelagian, Arminian heretics. He hath not dealt with any other nation other than Jacob. And it was his choice to do so. He said, can I not do with my own what I want to do with? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? You know, the thing that has always amazed me is how the people can go to these funerals, people that have died that had no semblance of walking a Christian life whatsoever, lived in open immorality most of their life, were drunkards, whoremongers, and every other kind of thing that defiles man, and they could get up and quote the 23rd Psalm. What a blasphemous thing, you know. He has not dealt with anyone other than Jacob. You know, let me tell you something. When the heathen are raging and clenching their fist at the face of God, when they die, you think they're going to be saying the 23rd Psalm? I don't think so. Not according to this Psalm. It says that he's going to cast the wicked to the ground. That's what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow whoremongers, reprobates, and drunkards, and alcoholics, and homosexuals all their life, and they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? I don't think so. I know not that it's not scriptural. But God died for all of them. No, he didn't. And so we see that we have to be realized, we have to be reminded that God, His mercy is a, and His grace is particular, and it's a wonderful grace, but it's not universal. That's Jesuitism. That's Arminianism. That's Roman Catholicism. That's Pelagianism. You know, it brings to my mind, there's so many passages in the Bible, but one that I think of often is, it comes to me
several times a day, and all that the Father given me will come to me. Who's speaking there? Jesus Christ. All that the Father hath given me will come to me. And so we should be so grateful that God, the Father, has given us to the Son. How do we know that God, the Father, has given us to the Son? Because the next part of it says, all that the Father give me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. It's good to know that when we come to Jesus Christ, He's not going to cast us out. In fact, He says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And so we have a great future to look forward to, not down here on this earth. In fact, our future down here on this earth, frankly, as Christians, doesn't look very good right now. We should be joying in our persecution and our sufferings, but I'm not a prophet, but I haven't checked my brains in at the door either. You look around us, things don't look real good for the true Christians right now. But they didn't look very good during the time of Fox's Book of Martyrs either. They didn't look very good during the Great Inquisition. You know, they didn't look real good during the massacres that took place by Rome of the Valdenses, Lollards, Paulicians, you know. But you know what? Those people went to bloody graves. They woke up in paradise with Christ. There could be nothing greater that could happen than for us to shed our blood and show our allegiance to what Christ has done for us at the cross. So let us remember these things tonight and be encouraged, even though our future may look not so bright on this earth. We have a great hope in eternity. We're going to end by singing page 94, Psalm 147, which goes along with this message. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. Praise to our God to sing. For it is pleasant and to praise. It is a comely thing. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, brings back her captive sons. He binds up all their wounds and heals the brokenhearted ones. He counts the number of the stars. He names him every one. Our Lord is great and great in power. His wisdom search can none. The Lord upholds the meek and brings the wicked to the ground. With thanks, O praise the Lord our God. With harps his praises sound. Who covereth the heaven with clouds? Who forms the earth below, prepareth rain, who maketh grass upon the mountains grow. He cares for the beasts that roam the field, and doth their food supply. He watches o'er the raven young, and feeds them when they cry.
In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust His love are pleasing in His sight. In strength of horse or speed of man, the Lord takes no delight. But those that fear and trust His love are pleasing in His sight.
God, I'm glad, Lord.
Father, we're thankful for the great work You did for us in showing us Your unconditional love and paying the sacrifice of Your life for us on the cross, shedding Your blood for us. Pray that You would help us to praise You each day and let us keep eternity in mind as we go through this veil of tears. We pray in Christ's name and for Your glory alone. Amen.